Welcome to the CCI Sunday podcast presented by CCI Plus. Download our free app at communitychurchinternational.org. We'll start in just a moment, but first I want to invite you to stop by on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and worship with us, listen to a powerful message, and enjoy the company of some friends. We are 1 mile east of the college on Highway 1 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. We hope to see you soon.
Do we need hope? Come on. And we read the word of God and the stories of the remnant and the few that stood the ground and then got hope. It didn't look good all the time, but a people, Gideons and people in the Bible, the Abraham, the Isaacs, the Esthers, there were seasons of time where the Lord moved in and he spoke a word, and man, they stood and they said, there's hope here in what God has called you to do. Frank and Deb have been doing a fantastic job with the kids, and just thank them so much for the time and the effort that they have put in with the kids and some of the words that have been spoken. They're sharing about traps a couple weeks ago, and anytime my kids are on a phone or something like that, I said, how are we doing? We're not getting trapped, are we? Right? So what I tell them then, I go, okay, give me the scripture, and they gave me John 3:16, just to see. I said, if you can quote that for me. But I just, when I bring it up, it's me just checking on my family. And I think the Lord is really revealing areas in our life where we just need to check on our family once. Hey, okay, just watch this a little bit. And it's so good. It's so good. And the Bible studies, I encourage you, if you haven't been, I just encourage you to take the time, the 10, 15 minutes every night. It's been a blessing. And it gets things. This last week we talked about Samson and the Old Testament. And yes, his eyes got gouged out, and that was a bit rough. Wasn't it? But I tell you what, one more time, God took down the temple and he took down all of those Philistines, right? So anyway, it's been fantastic. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Holy Spirit of God. We thank you, Lord, for your word. Man, I thank you for your presence, God, in the season of time that we're in. You know, we're asking, Father, for the word of God, the direction, the lamp unto our feet, Lord, and a guide unto our path, Lord. We're looking again, God, for the revelation of your word and how it implies to us and the decisions and the choices we make every day, Father God. We love you, Lord. We thank you for your word, and we praise your holy name in Jesus' name. Everyone said? Amen. Woof. Man. I've been working on this prophetic word that Lynn Ballinger gave us probably, back in December, November, this last year of 2023. And I asked Jeremy to put it up on the website, and then up on the, if we could connect that to the app, because I believe it just takes continually refreshing on it and going. And I just want to read a little bit more portion of that and just talk about it for this morning. But he said he is pouring out his sweet presence over you. Isn't that the truth right now? And from, man, isn't it nice this morning? You know, I was up in prayer, or I was up in the Bible study, and I heard this, you know, and we were having Bible study up there. I said, sounds like someone got their electric guitar back. Did anybody notice that this morning? Did we hear the electric guitar? Jacob. That was awesome, man. And it's all in the spirit, so praise the Lord. It was good. He's pouring out his sweet presence over you. And from the sweetness, I'm raising up people up in this season who refuse to be offended. Come on. It's almost like the Holy Spirit was putting a demand of love, of the love of God, to be made manifest on his people like never before. Okay, can anybody testify to some of that happening right now in your life? The demand of the love of God. He says, your lives are going to be touched with the honey from heaven, and people will run to it. For I'm calling my people to be filled with love and be responsive to the Spirit in the midst of the world of violence, hatred, and pain. God is going to raise up a standard against it. Amen? He's moving. I believe some of these things are hard. I think it's a hard sometimes lesson that we learn to be led by the Spirit and filled with the Spirit in all things. And I want to share a time in the Bible where the disciples were with Jesus and he shared something that was very difficult to understand. So if you want to turn for me, let's go to the book of John, chapter 6. We're going to get into the Word. John chapter 6. Let's go to verse 53. And Jesus shares this story. I don't know if you've heard this story before. But Jesus says, "Very truly I tell you, unless you eat of the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you will have no life in you." How's that going for you? "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day. For my flesh is real food," say real food, "and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in them. Just as I lived in the Father, he sent me, and I have because the Father, so who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that comes down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but you who feed on this bread will live forever." Say, live forever. "So he said this teaching while in the synagogue. So on hearing this, many of his disciples," now this was his disciples, "said this, 'This is a hard teaching. Who can accept it?' Aware of this," he says in verse 61, "the disciples were grumbling about this, and Jesus said, 'Does this offend you?'" Come on. "Then what if you see the Son of Man ascend to where he was before? The man ascend to where he was before. The Spirit gives life. The Spirit gives life. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full of Spirit and life." Come on. "Yet some of you who do not believe. For Jesus had known from the beginning which of them did not believe and who would betray him. This is what I told," right? "No one can come to me unless the Father." From this, many of his disciples, in verse 66, turned back and no longer. Say, many. So Jesus in verse 67, he says, "Do you want to leave too? Do you?" Jesus asked the 12, and Simon Peter, we love Simon. Say, we love Simon. We do love. "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." What revelation did Peter have? That Jesus himself had the words of eternal life. I don't get it. I don't get the revelation of all that you said about eating of your flesh and drinking of your blood. I find that somewhat confusing. But here I am, Lord, on a journey with you, and I'm following you, and this is what I do know. From you comes the words of life. And on that revelation alone, I'm going to stick with you. And you know what? Most of them left. And there are seasons and times in our life where we know where life comes from. We just know it. We don't understand exactly the whole Bible and can interpret it from word to word, but we know that there's life there. And when we know where there's life, when we know where the wells are, when we're digging for those places, right? We may not understand every enemy. We may not understand the whole situations, but Peter stuck with it because he recognized that there's life here. And it doesn't take long when you're a Christian or when you're a believer or when you're in the world where you begin to realize what has life and what doesn't. You could wake up in your own house and look at yourself in the mirror and you could say to yourself, "Does this person have life or doesn't he?" I'm just doing it to myself. Come on. Come on. It's a tough lesson. But what I do know is where life comes from. And it's hard. But I'm not leaving it. I'm not leaving it. And it's too bad that most of them did. And there are seasons in our life where there's a lesson that God's wanting to reveal to us. And we got to hold on to life. And I believe that in the spirit right now, what we're contending for is real life. What we're contending for are the wells that bring real life and real healing in people's life. I understand it's difficult. I understand that the fight you fight, you know, we've been reading the Old Testament and Nehemiah and these things, when they try to build the walls and the enemy comes and he gets intimidated, say, no, I don't want you building the walls. Why? Because there's life there. And if life begins to flow, it begins to affect towns and cities and all the things that people have set up that was relying on some other altar. And you mess up the whole system. And that's the book of Acts. And we were just there today reading the book of Acts. We there, the Christians started coming into this land and they started messing up the whole thing, right? They started messing up the whole thing. But here's the deal. In this prophecy, in this prophetic word, what God is saying, God has always spoken to the prophets first. Amos 5:7. God doesn't move unless he speaks to the prophets. That's the word. Because he wants to be intentional. So here, he says, this is what he said. He said, he's pouring out his sweet presence over you. And the sweetness, I'm raising up a people in this season who refuse to be offended. Almost like the Holy Spirit was putting a demand of the love of God to be made manifest in his people like never before. Does anybody feel that demand besides me? Come on. You're feeling that demand, that pull of say, hey, we need that, but we need that love of God made like never before. He says your lives are going to be touched with the honey from heaven, and people will run to it. For I am calling my people to be filled with love and be responsive to the Spirit in the midst of the world, in the violence, in the hatred, and the pain. God is going to raise up a standard against it. Amen. Wow. And I believe God's wanting us to walk what Jesus was saying here. In verse 63, the Spirit gives life. Say, the Spirit gives life. Come on. The flesh counts for nothing. The words I have spoken to you, they are full. Say, full of the Spirit and life. They are full. They are so full. And I believe coming into the absolute fullness of God in our life. And the Lord wants us to eat from him. You know, that's a hard teaching. But I want to go back to the book of Genesis. Say, in the beginning. There was a beginning. And what I'm finding out about the Lord is he's always giving us choices every single day. Every single day. And I don't think I've ever had a thought that was empowering, but it really is. I have a choice on how I want to be this day. And when I realize that that's how God works, God in the beginning created a beautiful place. But he had two things. He had two trees, right? Knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life. And you could eat from the tree of life. You could have all the life you want. It's so good. Two choices. Samson, the same thing. Read Samson. He's like, if you had two choices, wouldn't you always just choose the better choice? Why is it so hard? All you have to do is not cut your hair. Yeah, and get away from Delilah. And how many times? Do you know this story? How many times? Oh, he tied me up. I woke up. What do you think is going on? Not after the first time. Not after the second time. I don't know. Was he not a sharp dude? I don't know. Not after the third time. right? You catching on here? It's trying to kill you. Hello? How many times that every day I get up in the morning and I can look myself in the mirror and say, I have a choice? Just as important. It's gonna be your day. It doesn't matter if you're ignorant or not. You know, I played this game. Boy, well, here we go. I played this game with the kids, and I turned all the lights off. And my wife had put Legos all over the floor because she had somehow, we had an idea, we just put all the Legos in one big thing. But it's really hard to try to assemble something when they're all in one big thing. You got to go through the thing and try to separate them. So you've been working on that. Well, we decided to play hide and seek, and we turned all the lights off. And the kids ran into the toy room. And I come running in there. And guess what I'm stepping on? Jeepers! Ow, ow, ow. You know, all over the place, they had laid all those Legos down, and I was stepping on all of them. And because it was dark, it was terrible, it was miserable. Turn the light on. Every morning, you could turn the light on. That's empowerment. You have a choice. You do. So you can eat from the tree of life, or you can eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You have a choice every single day of your life. To this day, you say, God is in control. No, you are. You make the choice. Right? God sets before you life and death. Make the choice. He's not going to force you to eat the tree of life. Can someone force you to eat? Have you ever tried to force someone to eat? It doesn't, yeah, oh, I suppose. Come on, Tom, eat, the plane's coming in. It's the gospel of Jesus. Open up your mouth, it's coming in, it's good to eat. Ooh, come on, we're past that, right? Tom, do the plane thing one more time. Just please do the plane thing. No, eat your food. Get some steak. But he laid it out before them. He says, here's life and here's death. So we know the story, right? But here's interesting. When they ate, it says here, then in verse, let's just go to verse 7. It said, then the eyes of both of them were opened. See, their eyes were opened, and they realized that they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves, and they covered themselves and the man. So what they took in and ate affected their vision. Come on. Affected their perception. Now, we're on the other side of that. We are on the other side of that now. They knew no evil. Now they've had that. So now we have the place of where Jesus comes, and he's starting to preach on us, and he's saying, you need to eat of me and my flesh. You need to take in the life that I'm giving you. You need to eat that. And guess what that's going to affect? Come on. And what I'm finding out about getting in the Word every night with my kids is vision. We're starting to see some things. We're starting to see some things. Every single day of my life, I got two trees to choose from. Knowledge of good and evil, and there's a lot of that out there. I can't even last. You know, it's interesting. You sit here and you go, oh, I wonder who the Vikings are drafting. Oh, let me check it out here. And you get that information right there. Or I'm thinking of what the word, oh, what's that Emma glada thing with the alligator? So what is that thing? So I took it in there. What is metamorphosis? Da, 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 da. You know, and you got all that right here at your fingertips. You got a lot of stuff right here, right? And you can just keep on going and keep on going and keep on going and keep on going, right? Knowledge and all those things. And you're so much of that. And he says, but there's a choice for every moment of time that I live, what I'm going to do, right? And I'm sitting there and I'm saying, well, should we take some time to get into the Word of God? Probably should, because there's life here. Amen? And I got every single day, but it's important. He said the eyes were opened. So let's do this. Let's talk about Jesus when he came, because he opened the eyes too. So it was a hard teaching that God was trying to share to them. And many of them didn't stick with it, and they didn't get the full revelation. But God wants us to get the full revelation. Amen? So, there was a time where Jesus walked. He walked with a couple people. I want to go to Man, I get so many things here. I'm sorry. Oh, let's go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 through 24. Matthew chapter 6, verse 22 through 24. He says, "The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness?" How much of our vision was affected right when we ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? What did that do to my heart? What was the first thing that hit Adam and Eve when their eyes were opened? They said they were afraid. They said they became afraid. Immediately, something came into their heart and their eyes were opened. It was from an inside-out action that had begun to affect their lives. And when we're dealing with things like counsel of fear, when we're dealing with those things, it's an inside job. It's not an outside job. And God is wanting to restore the inside job because it's part of what he's released in his spirit. It's what God has done. And when their eyes were open, they began to look at things differently. So we're coming from a different perspective. We're trying to catch what Jesus sees about us. And a lot of this has to do with identity. God, what do you see in me? He says, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new believer. Old things have been passed away. Say, I'm a new creation. Say, I'm a new creation. Well, what is that? Come on. What is that new creation? Christ in me, the hope of glory. What have I become when I'm born again? Who am I? Identity. Who am I? Because when Adam and Eve ate of that, they started thinking of things differently. Fear became to come in. They lose identity. They lose purpose. They lose focus. And God's trying to reestablish that in our lives. And he's talking about our heart. And be full of light. So the eye is the lamp of the body. So I want to go to Ephesians chapter 1. And this is what Paul prays for. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. And this is a prayer I love to quote many times. He says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better." Come on. Come on. "That I may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order you may know the hope to which he's called you to, and the riches and the glorious and the inheritance of his holy people." What belongs to me? Last week I was sharing, what belongs to us as believers empowers us. Do you realize what you have? Do you realize what you have? And sometimes I wonder, because at the garden, something changed. And I began to give up some of my power because of what I perceived about who I am. And it wasn't good, and it caused fear. It caused things that to change. And what God's doing is he's coming in and he's saying, "I want you to see that your eyes might be enlightened, that you may know me better." And he's calling us to where there's nothing that replaces us from having a relationship with God. Every single time I get up in the morning, whether I'm going to eat from the tree of life or I'm going to eat from the tree of knowledge, every day I have a choice and I have a decision. Every single one. And he says, "I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened, that you may know me better." You know, our biggest problem is we just don't know God in that way. In what way do I not know God? What way do I know God when it comes to the situations in my life? Is Jehovah Jireh my provider? Is God my provider? In what way do I know God when it comes to mental health or situations in my life? In what way do I know the Father? Because I need to know him better. So right now, you're probably in a wonderful possibility of knowing God better. And it's crazy to think that when they ate from the tree of life, the first thing they did was run from God. They ran from the Lord. Man, because I'm in trouble. And what do we need? We need the Lord. And this is what Paul prays. He says, I pray that you get the revelation that you might understand something. Say, Tom, I need to understand something. I need to understand the season that I'm in. You know, some of us as parents, we need to understand the battles that we're facing when it comes to our children. We need to understand the tools that God has given us in order to fight principalities and powers. We need to understand that it is so important when Paul says here that you may know, I pray that the eyes of your heart might be enlightened in order that you may know the hope. In a generation right now of hopelessness, what do you think they need? Hope. What do we need? Hope. Come on. And we read the word of God and the stories of the remnant and the few that stood the ground and then got hope. It didn't look good all the time. But a people, Gideons and people in the Bible, the Abraham, the Isaacs, the Esthers, there were seasons of time where the Lord moved in and he spoke a word, and man, they stood and they said, there's hope here in what God has called you to do. The riches of his glory and inheritance in his holy people, and what is incomparable great power to us who believe. The power is the same that his mighty strength that exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand of the heavenly fathers, above all rules and authorities and powers and dominions. All. Above all. Above all. Not only the present age, but also in the age to come. And God placed all the things under his feet and pointed to him the head of everything, which is his church, which is the body, the fullness of whom who fills everything. Come on. Fullness. Oh, my goodness. How are we doing this morning? My goodness. Lord Jesus. Come on. He's just doing a deep work of revelation in the Spirit of God. I keep reading a little bit of this word. It says, I saw a bright beam of light coming. This is the prophetic word that's on there. I saw a bright beam of light coming, sown from heaven into the earth. And the Lord said, I am sending a visitation into the earth, and a visitation will bring much healing to those who encounter it. I believe you're going through something tough. I know it. It's a tough teaching. But you need to hold on. Danny, can I share that word you got? He's fighting a good fight right now. But the Lord said you need to hold on a little bit longer. Some of you, dads, moms, need to hold on a little bit longer. Because you have the words of life. I can't eat the things that I'm always eating and consumed with. Something's got to change. You know, repentance is a good thing. What is repentance? Repentance is like, man, I didn't know. It's a wonderful gift, Sandy. I didn't realize so much stuff I needed to repent from. Come on, it's okay. It's okay. You don't do everything right. But I get tired of hitting my head on a wall constantly. And there comes a point in life where I got to recognize what tree I'm eating from. So I'm tired of being afraid. You say, Tom, you ever get afraid? I get anxiety. I work on things. And I don't want to eat from that anymore. I want to eat from something different. And it requires faith. Because I don't always do it that way. I get up in the morning and I have my routine. But maybe I need to get up in the morning and look at myself. There was an old Saturday night routine live or whatever, but he looked in the mirror and he said, doggone it, I'm good enough, I'm strong enough, and people like me. You look in the mirror and say that every morning. Maybe not. But maybe you should get a confession and say, you know what, I am a child of God. And I am loved. And I do belong. And I am significant. And I am valuable. And I can do all things. I can do it. I'm going to rip my hair out sometimes on some of the things I face with my own children and my own workers. Nah, I'm just kidding. It's okay, Lucas. I'm not talking about you. But you do. But I have a choice. Come on, you guys. It's so good. And I'm not sure always what to do. So this teaching about eating the flesh of Christ and all these things, that's tough. How do I eat this food? And how do I dig into that? I'm not sure, but I know where life is and I know where it's not. And I could see down that road of constant divorce or constant beating or constant place of anxiety and fear. I see that road. I see where it goes. It's not going in a good road. That I know. That I know. So I say, okay, Lord, it is you who has the words of life. It is you, Lord God, who has the words of life. And I want to live. How many want to live? I do. Come on. And the Holy Spirit of God in his fullness, he's real. The joy of the Lord is real. The fruits of the Spirit are real. God is real. Come on. God is real. Come on. The tree of life is here. You can eat from that. That belongs to you. Come on. Every day of your life, you have a right to eat from the tree of life. Every day. You have a choice. You do. You do. That's empowerment. You got a choice. You can decide. And I'm feeling that so much. In a generation, come on, you would wonder too. If you're a young person in this world right now wondering about your future, it's tough. But I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know that God is real and he's not dead. And history has come and gone. Nations have risen and nations have fallen. But the word of God, his love, he's always stood the test. Men and women of God who didn't give up, who pressed on in the fight, established, come on, a place on earth that glorified God, that said their family, it saved their children, it saved a nation. Think about Noah, think about Abraham, Joshua, Isaac, and Caleb, Danny Packard. He stood up and he said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. That does make a difference. Love does come there. Things do change. They do. And yeah, I know it's a hard teaching, but you can't go away from what really brings life. Come on, look at it. I know it. Oh, can't be offended, Sandy. It is. Did I offend you when I said you had to eat of my flesh? Did I offend you when I said you had to drink of my blood? Did it hurt you? Did it bother you that you had to lay down your life? Come on. I told you, you had to lay, it's not that Jesus is just Savior. He's also that Jesus is Lord. Does that offend you? Huh? Sometimes with me it does. Because I don't agree with everything that goes on. I've dealt with loss. Do you think that's fun? No. And I don't like that. It didn't go the way I wanted it to go. But Jesus is Lord. Come on, Jesus is Lord. Come on. All the time. And I could say, no more tears. I count it all joy. And maybe some of us aren't, that's okay. That's fine. God will bring us there to count it all joy. Joyce Myers to this day blows me away. There's anyone that could have been offended, but what they thought God allowed them to go through. You check out Joyce Meyer's testimony, and you watch that champion of faith, how she declares the word of the Lord, and I can only shake my head to this day and say only God could do that for a person. who's not caught up in bitterness and hatred towards her own father. Of course you could have that. But she found a daddy God in heaven who's greater than those things, that set her free from the oppression, from the lies that tried to come and attach something to there. He totally set her free. Anytime I start complaining about my situation or thinking, I look at the champions of faith, say, how did they do it? Praise the Lord. Come on. And they're preaching. And they're setting people free. Why? Because there's a higher standard. Like he says, he's raising up a standard against it. There's going to be a people who love God more than their own opinion, who love God more than their own hurt, who love God more than their own disappointment, who love God more than the situation they're in. They love God more. I love you more. I love you more. I don't get it, but I love you more. Because there's life here and I can't leave it. I knew it. I knew it. I knew it when I went through a difficult time that it was right there. There was life and there was something else I could choose from. I knew it. And that scared me because I knew where it would go. And I was scared about not life. When we don't forgive one another, when we don't repent, if I ever done anything wrong, which probably hopefully never ever happens, but if it did happen, I would hope that someone would come to me so that I could make that right. Wouldn't you? Because isn't that restoration? I got a question for you. When you went to Jesus with all your stuff, what did he do? Come on, what did Jesus do for you? What did Jesus do for me? What did he do? Well, he talked about 45 minutes about all my problems. No, he didn't. You know what he did? He saw Tom walking from a far way away, and he started getting ready for a party, and he rejoiced. He says, come on, man. Come on. Come on. He's coming. He's coming. Yes. Yes, they're coming. He's coming. Yes. He's coming. He's coming. Yes. He's coming. Woo. He's coming, Jacob. He's excited. He wants you to come. He wants you to come. Come on, Cletus, come on. Come on. Dave Lang, come on. I don't got all my ducks in a row. I don't. Come on. I don't have my retirement. Come on, Tom. Come on, choose life. You can do it. Man, Jake was so good at this. He'd just grab a hold of something and just shake you. Because you can do it. You so can. Come on. You're so significant. I'm not here to tell you what to do. That's the Holy Spirit. I don't want to run your life. I can't even run my own life. The Holy Spirit does. God does. You understand? I'm a different type of pastor. I know you got to call God on your life. You're never going to be happy unless you're doing it. It's miserable. You say, well, what is that, Tom? What could that be? Some of the best champions of the world had raised 2 kids for the gospel that went and changed the world. It may be just raising 2 children. You think, well, that's nothing. No, it's not. Not in God's eyes. Right now, the biggest thing is I'm going to be a husband. Right now, the biggest thing is I'm going to get my life right. I'm going to serve the Lord. The biggest thing is I'm going to make a decision about myself right now. Come on, champion. You are a champion. I got to make a decision. You're feeling the weight of your choices right now. You're feeling the weight of your choices. It's okay. Because when you eat from the knowledge of good, you feel that weight. It's only a push to say you need to choose now. It's only to reveal that you have the power to choose life. That you have a power to choose and say, come before God. Say, even if you don't know everything. Man, Sandy, I don't know if I've always known everything. But I couldn't stop fighting. If you stop fighting, you never get to see the victory. And then you got to go back again. And I don't want you to stop fighting, because there's moments here in the Spirit of God. Well, if you get your breakthrough, you're not going to have to go back. It's going to be done. It's going to be finished once and for all, because you made the decision in your heart to do something once and for all. And I felt it so strong this morning that you just make a decision and you're going to go. And you're going to do this. I'm going to make a decision to be that man. God, I don't understand it all, but I'm going to say yes. And I'm going to go for something here. Woo! It's so powerful, guys. But you can do it. You got it. Do you feel the presence of God here for that? He says you could do it. And there's other voices. And after, I'm going to close, but after all of this happened with Adam and Eve, God said this thing that I always think about when people, I counsel them. I said, well, who told you that? Who told you you were naked? Who told you you can't? Who told you you weren't valuable? Who told you that you were worth it? Who told you that? Wasn't him. But those words affect us, don't they? We've all gone through something. We have. But it's coming off. It's enough. Because it's keeping you from your future. And you make a decision. Come on. You make a decision. Right now. Right now, Lord, I make a decision in my heart, the eyes of my heart. I got to stop looking at, focusing on that. We got to lift our heads up, because God's real. God is real, and he's a champion of faith for us. But we need to lift our heads up. And we look to God and we say, okay, Lord, here I am. And in the I'll just tell you this flat out. In the most biggest decisions in my life that I've ever made, I really haven't felt like much. I haven't felt like a superstar. I actually felt pretty low when I made some of the most important decisions in my life, whether I was going to surrender and say, okay, Lord, I need you, and you got to do this, and I'm going to take this. I just didn't feel the best. But right now, in the presence of God, right now, in your own heart, there are choices that you need to put an end to and say, I'm no longer going to that place anymore. I'm going to eat of that junk, because it's had its way long enough. I'm going to go to the place of life. There's this standard that was in this word, for God is raising up a standard, and that is for our benefit. In a world where it says, for I'm calling my people to be filled with love and be responsive to the Spirit in the midst of the world of violence and hatred and pain, God is going to raise up a standard against it. And I just feel that so strong, that there's this choice, that we're going to choose this day who we're going to serve. And there's an end to some things once and for all. I know there's layers that we work on, but there's just this finishing. I can make a decision right now. I really can. What I'm going to be for my home, despite how my wife or my kids react or how about anybody else does, I can make a decision in my heart right now what I'm going to be and what I'm going to do. And as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I can speak this over my life. Jesus is Lord over my heart. Jesus is Lord over my mind. Jesus is Lord over me. Father God, Jesus is Lord. Amen? Amen. That's the Holy Spirit right now, moving so much on us. You guys got this. You guys are an amazing remnant of people. If you're watching at home, God is moving something so strong. But it's important that we start making some decisions and just putting our foot in the ground and saying, okay, man, looking in the mirror and saying, God, this is your day. Amen. We stand up this morning. I just want to pray. Father God, if somebody's watching at home and there's a season right now that we just going to lay something before the throne. And when Sarah was even praying about coming up to the throne and laying things downward, coming to the altar, I just do it. if that's what you feel. No time to, like, the present. Father God, right now, Lord, in your presence, Lord, it's so good. I just pray, Father, that you have your way, and it's your own life, Lord Jesus, right now. God, that we surrender things to you and we allow you to be king of our hearts, Lord. God, you're real and you're moving. And I just the questions, God, this is a tough lesson. God, I pray what Paul prayed, because some of us are trying to get it, wrap our heads around some things. If that's you right now, just lift our heads, Lord. We can't put our head around everything all the time, because God, you're God. And I need you to be God over my mind. You're Lord over my mind. And I may not understand it all, but I know this, there's life here. God, I need your life in my life. Father, would you help me right now? Identify things that I need to do, or I need to be. Lord, would you help me understand some things? When we come before the throne room of God, we let God know, Lord Jesus, you have it for us. You set us free. You bring us to those places. God, you be God, not me. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Father God. You're so good. You're so good. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more, visit our website, communitychurchinternational.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 10 a.m. at the church 1 mile east of the college on Highway 1 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. If you wish to support this ministry financially, you may give online on our website or on our free CCI Plus app. Thanks again for spending time with us today. Have a great day.